in the name of Jesus. Amen. The ascension text that I have chosen to preach on this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. Ascension Day was actually celebrated last Thursday, and a number of us were here bright and early on Thursday morning to celebrate. But then the 10 of us didn't want to be really greedy, and so we decided that we would observe it again this most blessed day as well. And so the text from Matthew, the 28th chapter, these words: "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." That's a pretty amazing statement, isn't it? They worshipped him, but they doubted. Most literally, that's what it says. Not some, but more literally, they worshipped him, but they doubted. They doubted. Not some of them, but all of them. All of the 11, that is. That they actually even made it to the mountain in Galilee at all can only be considered a miracle of God's grace and mercy, because they still hadn't got it figured out. Not till the day of Pentecost did any of this make sense. But then without the gift of the Holy Spirit of God, no one would get this anyway. They didn't quite know what was going on. They didn't quite know what to expect. They still had doubts and questions, which, by the way, they still have, even after the Pentecost gift. They were confused. They were frightened. They were still, well, the same old disciples. Some commentators try to protect the integrity of the disciples. This doubting thing, for instance, that couldn't have been about the 11. That had to be the other disciples, like the 500 that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians, or it had to be a flashback pointing to the time that Thomas doubted. Or that these disciples had once doubted, once upon a time, but no longer. But that's not what it says. They worshipped him, but they doubted. They weren't exactly pillars of the faith. Their minds were divided. They're all torn up inside. They were just like me. Just like you. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm so glad these guys aren't saints. Well, I guess they are, but you know what I mean. I'm glad because this is exactly how we find ourselves so often. We worship. We believe. We're here. We confess him in the creeds. We read his word. We pray the prayer he taught us. We hear what Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." And yet, we doubt. When disasters happen in our world, earthquakes and tornadoes, tsunamis and war, when things in our lives don't work out the way we hoped or planned, or when life just plain doesn't work out at all, when it seems as if it is just me against the world, when loneliness, anxiety, or uncertainty, when fear creeps into our minds, when some damned sin dominates us, when life gets all sucky, when someone gets sick, when someone leaves, when someone dies, we worship, but we doubt. We believe, and yet we wonder. We trust, and yet we question. Jesus, where are you when I need you? In the fullness of time, when the time was just right, he was here when we needed him. In the manger and in the Jordan, and in the wilderness, in the homes of sinners, thank God, and on Calvary's cross. But why not now? Why not still? Like the 11, we are hardly pillars of the faith. We find ourselves divided, our minds and emotions all torn up. And on our knees, we pray the prayer of those who worship and who doubt. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. To help is exactly why Jesus ascended to his Father. To help us in our unbelief, he ascends to intercede for us, to pray for us, and to answer our prayers. And not only our prayers, but to answer the prayers of all his people, of all time and all place. He ascends to help and forgive us confused and confounded disciples. He ascends that we might believe. And that's why we're here today celebrating this great Ascension Day. We're here to remember that Jesus' ascension does not mean that he's gone and that he lives on only in our memories or a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And now we are really on our own. He ascended in order to be with us always, in order to fill all things, in order to continue his work of salvation by sending his Spirit to be with us and in us through the work of his church. He ascended so that even though we worship and we doubt, both at the same time, he would keep us firm in his word and faith until we die, for this is his good and gracious will, as Luther explains it in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And so Jesus ascends, but he doesn't leave. What do you mean, Pastor? He doesn't leave. Where do you think he is? I look around, and I certainly don't see him. Oh, maybe Oral Roberts saw a 900-foot-tall Jesus standing next to his Oklahoma skyscraper back in 1980, but I've never seen him standing next to nothing. Well, we know he didn't leave because we read in the book of Acts that when Jesus ascended, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. He went into a cloud. See, Pastor, I told you he left. No. What cloud do you think that was? Do you think Luke was giving us a weather report? Why mention a cloud anyway? I mean, why not just Jesus went poof and he was gone? When you see the word cloud in Scripture, what comes to your mind? Not rain clouds, unless you were thinking of Elijah on Mount Carmel. No, my guess is you were also thinking of all of the times the presence of God is manifested by a cloud. You see, rain clouds come and go, but this cloud was the same cloud that was there at Jesus' transfiguration. This was the same cloud that descended into the tabernacle in the temple. This was the same cloud that led the children of Israel to the promised land. This was the same cloud that set itself up as an impenetrable bulwark between the Egyptian army and the fleeing, frightened children of Israel. This is the cloud that was the sign and guarantee of the presence of God in the midst of his people. And while they were there in the wilderness, it didn't leave them. And just an aside, we're living in the wilderness too, aren't we? Sprinkler systems and beaches, yeah, I know, but it's a wilderness. And that means the presence of God doesn't leave you either. And so when Jesus ascends into heaven, he ascends into the realm of the God who dwells with his people. And in this realm of God, he's no longer bound by the laws of nature that limit us. No, now as our crucified and risen Savior, as the God-man, he exercises the whole power and authority of God for us. And even though he doesn't show us himself to our eyes anymore, he's still with us, just as he promised. Here you must use your earballs to see. Lo, I am with you always. Just as his precious name implies, Emmanuel, God, with us. With us to serve us. With us to keep on giving his gifts to us. With us to speak to us, to wash us, to feed us, to faith us, to forgive us, to defend us, to save us. And that we can be sure of this, he had to ascend. Suppose Jesus hadn't ascended. Suppose he had gone on showing himself just as he had between his resurrection and his ascension. Pop in here and then disappear. Pop out over there. That'd be really cool, wouldn't it? As long as he appeared here. But the world doesn't go around us, you know. Where would he be on the Lord's day? Here or in some other church? Would he be here in America or in Africa or Australia or Europe? Where would he be? And what makes you think we wouldn't keep tabs on him? Oh, he's appeared in 372 Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations, but only in 4 of the other flavor. And if he were there and not here, how could we possibly say Jesus is with us? But because Jesus ascended, we, his children, no matter where we are, we know that he is with us, here and there, omnipresent. For now he fills all things, as Paul told the Ephesians. Just how? I don't know. I'm not God. He didn't tell us the physics of it, and neither can we figure it out. We certainly better not bind him to our elementary understanding of the physics that he wrote. But one thing we do know, he is with us always to the close of the age. We have his promise on that. Remember the cloud, the sign and guarantee of the presence of God in the midst of his people? That cloud hasn't reappeared. But that's okay. He's given us new signs and guarantees of his presence in our midst. He's promised to meet us here. Well, not so much here as here, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. He's promised to meet us here as well. Here where he poured out the benefits of the cross upon you. His promise connected to water, water in which he Christed you. He put his name on you. He promised to meet us here as well, where you hear the words proclaimed into your ears, in the name and by the stead of Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins, for indeed he meets you. Not with this, but with forgiveness, grace, and mercy. He promises to meet us here, where he preaches his word to your every need. And here as well, where he's promised to meet us under bread, which is his body, and under wine, that is his blood, to forgive you and to save you. And so it's not every man and every woman for themselves as your old Adam and your old Eves would like you to think. You're not on your own in this big, bad, self-destructing world. Jesus ascended so that he would be both with us and be for us. So that his death and resurrection would be our death and resurrection. So that his body and blood would be present here for us. So that through his church, his gifts would be here for us, be given to us. Jesus ascended so that even though we worship and we doubt, our doubt has been forgiven, let go, dropped, not held against us, and our faith strengthened, and his peace and his joy to reign in our hearts. All this we have, for we have him. Or better than that, he has us. If it were up to us clinging to Jesus, not one of us would be here this morning, starting with the guys in the chancel, or especially with this guy in the chancel. But he has us. And if he has us, then we shall be where he is. And he is here. And he comes to bless you and keep you, to make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, to look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.